Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, Gareth Martin, and Paul Higgins.
Hello.
Well, I dread to ask this question, but first of all, let's go to Gareth. Gareth, was that a good race? Did you enjoy that race? What happened?
Shitfest.
Paul, good race. What happened?
I'm still expecting someone to wake me up. See, yeah, that was all a dream. That never happened. Let's go and watch 50 laps of them in a procession.
40 years of watching Formula One, which I started watching at a young age, obviously. Youngish age.
You must have been.
35 years?
Maybe about that.
Yeah, 35 years of watching Formula One.
I may be tanking the 40.
You can tank the 40.
Cheers.
We have never seen a race as batshit crazy, mad. At no point. Paul, can you come in here and say how you felt that race went, how it made you feel? Sum it up for us.
It's just exactly how I thought it was going to be.
I'm trying to take a drink here, Paul. I'll give it more than that.
I predicted everything that was going to happen. Not madness. Absolute madness. I'm still sitting here thinking, you know, did that happen?
How the fuck did Hamilton win? I mean, I genuinely...
I don't know. I mean,
he's got half his front wing missing. He's still putting in fastest laps, which makes a mockery of the system of aero.
Aero is everything until there's half it missing, and then it's still, okay.
Yeah, we've no idea. Maybe that's just Hamilton going, oh, guys, I'm missing my tires all my are wing. Off.
Yeah.
I've not got any wheels left in the car, fastest lap. We're also trying to work out where Max got the 5-second penalty from, which...
Still no idea.
Even Martin Brundle, who, let's be honest, is on the fucking scene, has no fucking idea. Nobody knows. We don't know. Paul, why did Max get the 5-second penalty?
I haven't got a fucking clue.
So, advance warning, today's episode is going to be explicit.
Very.
Hell yeah.
We seem to find that we get more downloads when people go, they're swearing there. Yeah, let's
I'm
get on
tune
this.
In.
Right, let's try and put it in context. Right, race started. To be fair, it was a perfect start for Mercedes. We've got Mercedes starting 1 and 2. They get into, obviously, first sequence of turns. First turn, bend 1, bend 2, bend 3. And they're still sitting, Lewis, Bottas, Max, and you're thinking this race is going to be a bore fest.
Yeah.
I don't think anything exciting is going to happen here. It's maybe we'll get a wee bump with the wall. We had no fucking idea. No idea what was going to unfold. And then we get to lap 10 and we have a wee bump into the wall. It was, who went into the barrier? Mick Schumacher. Mick Schumacher went into the amazing barrier, gets out safe, waves to the fans. I'm okay. Car's okay. It's in a bit of a state, but it's they can drag it off the track and off they go. But
ultimately, barrier's pretty much okay.
Barry R was going, fucking, I can take it. I'm big Baz. Nay issues. Nay fucking issues. Barry R is loving it. Centre of attention. So at lap 10, we're just thinking it's going to be a case of a clean-up. So in come the teams. Merck come in, stick some hards on the car because they think the last 40 laps... No problems. We're out back in first and second. Or actually, they're second and third because Max has stayed out. He's done the opposite.
Yeah.
And we're all thinking, well, okay, Max will still have to pit again. But then, fuck me, what did the FIA do? Or what does Mike Massey, the banker, do?
Yeah. Michael, fucking Andrew, fucking Lloyd Webber, Massey.
Let's have a red flag. That'll fuck everything up. And sure enough, the red flag did screw Mercedes.
It screwed the whole thing, to be fair.
We can't blame it back on that one red flag.
We have stewards.
Well, no, we're not there yet. So, we have a red flag, lap 10, and it screws with Merck's plans. They've moved the guys onto hard tyres. We've got Max is still on his mediums. But now he's leading the race, and with being a street circuit, we do feel that track position is more important.
You would think.
So they decide it's going to be a restart from the grid, and Hamilton's sitting obviously in second at this point on hards. Max is on mediums. And we get a restart from the grid. And at that point, we've got Hamilton coming off the line like a fucking raging bull. Goes down the...
A raging bull?
Well, yeah.
Came off it like a rocket. The raging bull... was on the other side of the track.
The bulls aren't copyrighted. They can go fuck themselves. Right. Nah. I've had that shit. I've had the emails from that bull saying...
Raging bull.
Raging bull. Raging bull. Like a bull in a china shop. As opposed to a bull.
An angry bull.
So...
Anyway.
Hamilton completely...
Can I just...
You're still there, Paul.
For the actual proper race start...
Uh-huh.
Can I just... For once,
wait. The proper restart,
the initial, the first one.
We really should speak about the red flag. Why we got to that point?
The start. Can I just big up Bottas because I've not done it all season. I've slated the guy.
Oh,
but he done a job. He did what he was to do.
You mean the job?
He did. But
so no, listen.
On you go, Paul.
Where credit's due, you've got to give him it. Got to give him the credit. Now.
Bottas, well done. Only the fourth time of the season that you've actually done your fucking job. I think he's fourth. Well, he's outscored Max three times. So technically, getting fourth in this
for being the best teammate in this sport
in the world,
according to Lewis
Paul, in the world. People are going to be listening to this and going, you guys are fucking either minced or crazy, one or the other. So I apologise.
Bit of both. Sorry, if Lewis says it, then it's true.
Yeah, that's it.
So welcome to Wednesday.
Right, so let's get back to the narrative of the story. So the red flag was initially caused by the Haas going into the barriers, but they felt they had to red flag it. Safety is paramount, especially on a track like this with such high speed. So we've got to turn around and say the FIA / Mike Massey decided to do this for safety first and foremost. In case somebody else went into the barrier, they had to make sure it was fixed properly.
Yeah.
That is fine. We get into the restart, and what happens is Lewis gets a fantastic start, gets down to turn one.
Yeah.
He is more than a car length ahead of Max. And Max thinks, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going off-road. And he just fucking straight lines the bend and comes out in front of Hamilton. Ocon, in the meanwhile, because then Hamilton has to go, fuck me. Where the fuck is Max coming from? He's came for fucking the stands and came back onto the track. Then Ocon is taking advantage of the situation because Hamilton's backed out. Because... I'll be honest, Hamilton's skill over the whole race has been, apart from when he ran up Max's arse.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really good.
Unless I run up your arse.
No, you
remembered that mid-sentence, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
The words were coming out and it came out of your head. You went,
no, shit.
Apart for that...
So apart from the moment where you really fucked it up...
No,
you
Hamilton,
were doing good.
Hamilton fucked it up. Apart from the moment...
You weren't in the car, but Hamilton... So apart from the point where you really shit-faced it...
Sorry. Uh-huh.
I think you and Gareth should just swap seats.
Apart from the moment that Hamilton ran up Max's arsehole, but there's reason for that. We'll come to that.
Yep.
Let's be honest, Hamilton avoided about fucking 8 accidents over the space of that race.
But does that not mean that Hamilton put himself into the position where there was 8
of course
accidents?
He has to.
Beforehand.
He has to put himself in a position to actually cause an accident, make the other guy go, oh, fuck it, I'll move out of the way. Whereas in actual fact, Hamilton was going, fucking Max, fuck are you up to? And getting out of the way. So Ocon gets past
Hamilton.
Lewis. No. Lewis, at this point, has had to then back off, and he's then stuck behind.
Yep.
He's then stuck behind.
Do you want to just...
I've got to try and edit this. There's no fucking point.
Just flatten out your Hamilton fanboy T-shirt there.
Look. I am trying to stay middle of the road. You've got Paul there with a fucking Merc hat on. Do you see me with a Merc hat? No.
Listen, I've got to fly the flag for Derek today. That's why I've got that hat on.
Exactly.
And where's your Ferrari T-shirt?
It's in the washy.
In the bin.
So at that point, it became a case of it turned into what's the name of the show with the boxes and stuff?
Deal or No Deal?
Deal. There's only one show with the boxes. It turned into Deal or No Deal.
I don't know if it actually hit that far at that point.
No, no, it did. It did, because at that point they were then turning around saying to Red Bull, your offer is, do you want to start second? And they were like, okay, we Ocon in front. Yeah, we'll take that deal.
That's when they red flagged
it. Yeah, and they gave them the wrong fucking offer.
Yeah, they did.
They gave them the wrong fucking
offer. You can start. So, do you know, this is the problem with this. The sport has become...
Gareth's got a bee in his bonnet about this, by the way.
He does, by the way, because
this... A big old bee.
Turned into an
massive bee.
Shit fest.
Let him speak, Glenn.
Because you can't have... Do you know, all through the season we've had, you know, the stewards make the decisions. Michael Massey has kind of went, yeah, thank you for calling. I will take that into consideration. And then, this week, the stewards have got fuck all to do with it, and yet he's saying, what we'd like to offer Red Bull is you can start in second place rather than just carry on where you are.
Okay. Yeah, and then they go, thank you very much, actually, we'll take that. That's an absolutely fantastic offer. And then he goes,
actually.
Do you know what? I didn't mean... I meant behind Lewis.
What was actually happening? That just makes an absolute fucking joke of the sport.
I would like to say we've never swore this much in the past by
probably
12
never.
Minutes in the episode. But probably part of the reason is that what we saw today was absolute madness. Between Mike Massey coming out and saying, look, guys, you can start in third or you can start in second, or what's the options, Mike? Where can we start?
See if they had said no. What was it? Then we'll go to the stewards?
At that point, I think it would have been pushed to the stewards, and the stewards would have then said, look, here's a 5-second penalty for you, and you'll start eighth.
That sits with the stewards for the get-go.
That's exactly what the stewards are for.
Michael Massey has kind of stepped away for this sort of shit all through the season, and we've had conversations about this.
Yep.
And yet, this week, because, for whatever reason, it comes up his humph to go, I'm going to put an offer on the table.
Yeah,
you can start second, or as Paul says, maybe third.
Yeah,
where does that? I don't get it. I really do not get it. And I get that we're getting to the end of the season. It's a tight, I'm lost with this. And if this is
let's be honest. At that point, we thought this is just. I mean, this was the tip of the fucking iceberg, and we didn't know it at the time. We just thought, right, okay, we're back to racing, and things will be fine for you. You know what I
mean? No.
Then I found myself lying on the living room floor half an hour later. I couldn't even stand up. What the fuck is going on here?
Honestly, there's never been a madder race, ever. We spoke about, we've got to look at this from a serious point of view. The track is a dangerous track. We saw that actually after the restart, where we've got fucking another red flag. But it's because Mazepin's run up the arse of Russell, because they don't have the visibility. We've got Perez, who's wound up in the wall because there's not enough width in the track that he can't actually get through the gap that Ferrari's leaving for him. And we wind up with a second red flag right after the restart. So we've got that to deal with. But at the same time, we've got this nonsense going on at the front, and the deal or no deal thing going on with the banker. Mike Massey is telling the teams, didn't go to the stewards, sorry, because it might have taken longer. And Mike Massey is just like making deals with the teams. You know what? We'll get Max to start second, and we'll get Hamilton to start first, and Ocon will start third. And it was just utter mayhem.
I'm now beginning to think, were the stewards aware of that conversation with Mike Massey? Is that why that 5-second penalty came into play later on in the day?
almost at the end of the day.
That's it. Yeah. The five-second penalty is from the lap 10. That would be
surely.
But they would not.
A sentence shouldn't start. So the offer is. It's not an offer. This is a sport, a professional sport. You can't go, okay. So the offer is, you've done this, and what we would like to put to you is that you got to make coffee.
Could you imagine
everybody? Fuck it, come on.
Could you imagine in football somebody recklessly breaks a player's leg and the referee comes out and goes, okay, I've got an offer for you. I'll give you
a foul,
a yellow card. How does that sound? Oh, that sounds great. Oh, no, sorry. Actually, I meant a red card.
And then I'll take a goal off you. Yeah. I mean, that was.
You can have the yellow card now, and then 2 minutes to go, you're just going to get a random red card for nothing at all.
Right.
It's nuts.
We have to move on for that because.
That is the story.
You can't move on from that.
This is the thing. We think that was mad. We were sitting there and we were texting each other going, what the fuck is going on? And then the rest of the race happened and we're like, holy fuck. That was the last of their fucking problems and our worries. Look, so we get to the restart and I can't even mind what the fuck happened.
Which restart?
The second restart after the second reflag. Reflag? Red flag. Oh, dear.
Reflag. I genuinely think you should just swap seats with Gareth.
I know. So we get to the second restart and Max is starting in third. We've got Ocon in first and we've got Hamilton in second. And Hamilton, bless him, gets a good run in Ocon. But then what happens is him and Ocon are having a moment together and Max just goes, thanks very much. Scoots through. He's on the mediums. Hamilton's on the hards, which even was discussed after the first restart, because Hamilton had a great restart, and obviously it was pushed off. Well, he pushed Max off the track, or didn't give him room, but that's fair racing, according to Brazil rules. And Max, obviously, this time is then in the situation that he's now actually in the lead. Sorry if this is a bit mixed up, but the race was fucking bonkers. Go try and watch it and try and make sense of what happened. But we're in a situation...
You won't be able to, but
yeah, you
watch
won't.
It.
We're in a situation...
I think you could watch it 10 times over and you wouldn't have a clue what the fuck happened.
Genuinely, race, we need to watch back. Even the highlights won't give you fucking enough information.
I need to go back.
I tell you what, the highlights package on Channel 4 is going to be... They guys that have to edit that must be sitting there right now pulling their hair out going, how the fuck did I fit this in half an hour?
Because see the point where they went, yeah, Max has got a 5 second penalty. The two of us sat and looked at each other and went, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah. Spoiler alert, that's towards the end of the race. Let's get into the middle section.
Just to keep on this penalty thing, right? It's another thing that I don't understand. The stewards have come to the decision that he gets a 5 second penalty.
Yeah.
So they inform whoever, and it flashes up on our TV screen.
Yeah.
Do they not tell anyone the reason at that time when they say there's a 5 second
Wouldn't
penalty?
It appear so.
No.
They should say there's a 5 second penalty for whatever, and tell everyone, the viewers, whoever, right? So everyone knows. I'm not even convinced that Max and Lewis and the teams that actually know why he's been given that 5 second penalty.
Didn't look like it.
Well, let's go through the middle section before we get to the middle section. Well, yeah, because what happened is after the second restart, we wind up with basically Max out in front. Max is on mediums, Hamilton's on hards. And Max is basically picking up a lot of speed in the middle sector. So Hamilton kind of get into the DRS zones. And we're in a situation where we're looking at this race could just run to the end. And Max can just keep him at arm's length on the mediums. Even though Pirelli have turned around and said those tyres will only last 30 laps, not 40. And Hamilton is asking, guys, why did you put me out in the hards? And Mercedes, bless them, are turning around saying, those tyres will go to the end.
You're on
Pirelli
the right
have said, 35 laps, 40 laps, you're on the right tyre, just let it come to you. So the middle section of the race was really Hamilton just keeping in touch with Max and all the rest of it. And then we get to the strangest, weirdest part of the fucking race I have ever seen. Max gets a radio call to say, Max, you'll have to give that place back to Hamilton. Something we've maybe seen off camera. I don't know. I've no idea. Max, you have to give the place to Hamilton. You have to give him the lead of the race. And nobody has any idea why. And
especially Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton is unaware of this. So what happens is Max has got the radio call from his team. Max is coming up into turn 27, the last sort of hairpin, and he slows down. He doesn't move off the racing line, but likewise, he's thinking Hamilton's heard the message, overtake Max. The FIA have told him to give up the place. Hamilton gets up behind Max. And to be fair, I mean, over the space of the weekend, this particular track, because of safety, the blind bends, etc., etc., if a car in front of you slows down for no apparent reason, you go, right, there's fucking something.
There might be a reason.
Yeah, there's something up the road that is fucked up. I am going to just follow the car in front. Max doesn't have an indicator. He doesn't have a wee hand at the car or anything like that. So Hamilton gets up behind him. And what happens is Max is obviously braking. He's not moved off the racing line, which he's allowed not to do. He doesn't have to. And Hamilton's then went...
He does move slightly. There is a slight movement.
Slight movement. But meanwhile, Hamilton's going, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, but I think the big thing here is that obviously Max was under the impression that Lewis knew what was happening.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But when you listen to the radio calls and audio from Merck, they're saying... You're telling me what's happening as Max is reacting to what you've told him.
Yep.
We've not had a chance to say to Lewis, this is what's going to happen.
Yep.
Max is under the impression that that's been relayed to Lewis.
To Hamilton. Yep.
He's hit the brakes and Lewis has went, what the fuck, and right up his arse. So, again, who's at fault? Who's at fault for that?
Definitely not a good day for the FIA.
That whole piece around it. Communication, teams, FIA, it's all fucked up.
What this highlights is how awful the whole, there's rules and regulations and the policing of these rules and regulations is absolutely shocking. We see it week in, week out, people running to the FIA, Michael, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Who's making the decisions? Is it the FIA? Is it Michael Massey? Is it the stewards? There's decisions that are getting made from the week before, about an hour before races and qualifying. It's all up in the air and it's ridiculous. It should be set in stone and decided there and then.
If this happens...
Have the same stewards week in, week out, that travel around every week, same three or four guys. This is the rules. This is the regulations. We're going to police it, and it's the same every week, and that's how it's going to be. We will make decisions on the spot, get over and done with.
Yeah.
And but the way they do it is just
Michael Massey should have no input to it.
There should be no
radio communications between him and the teams.
Yep, exactly. Yep. But you have to wonder, so this is the first year that we've really seen the communication between the teams and Michael Massey.
Yep.
So you have to wonder, in the past, how much communication has there been there that's actually influenced decisions and races?
This race has been one of a kind.
This has been bonkers. Where do you get to the point that you've got the race director essentially overriding
your stewards, yep.
who are meant to be the guys that are in charge of administering penalties and looking at incidents that happen on track, and yet Michael Massey has then gone, so here's the offer. Nah. That is just bullshit.
Look, the incident with Max and Lewis at that point was miscommunication. Lewis hadn't been told. So they'd told Max, and then in turn they hadn't told Mercedes, or maybe they'd told Mercedes. Mercedes needed enough time to actually tell Lewis. Otherwise, Lewis would have known what the fuck was happening. Instead of that, Lewis has then gone, he brake-checked me. He did this, he did that, which is fair enough, because
What we're going to get in the build-up to next week's race... is all these appeals going in for both sides about he hit that.
Yeah.
And that's they're leaving themselves open to this madness that goes on week in, week out. They need to get that in order and get it sorted out.
The odd thing is that this is the first year that we've seen all this shit happening, and the reason we're seeing it is because there's pressure on. So for the past 7 or 8 years, Merck have had the track to themselves.
Yep.
For flag down to... fucking the checkered flag at the end, Merck have had this on their side, they've run the race. this is now where we're starting to see the point where actually there was somebody challenging them, and this is when the rules have almost fallen apart.
Yeah.
Because they don't support this sort of racing, and it's a lot of bullshit. And it's fine to say that next year, you know, we're going to have new cars and they'll be able to race closer. But until the FIA work out exactly what they're doing with the rules and how they administer penalties, then we're fucked. We're as well just actually all going home and just doing nothing.
Look,
they would be as well getting me to turn up every week and say, right, you referee this.
Yeah.
You dish out the penalties and that. And I'll go, oh, well, fucking Max is a wank. Give him a 5 cent penalty. I don't like him either. Give him a 10 second penalty. It's ridiculous. It's true, the way they're throwing these out. It is. It's willy nilly pish. Paul, excuse my language, but Paul, it's the way. It's,
was that the pish bit that you were wanting to apologise for?
Paul, I want to see that season where you're running the stooge in Formula One.
Ladies and gentlemen, looking after this.
I'll tell you something. It'll not just be one race that's exciting. It would be the whole fucking season would be bizarre.
Paul and Michael Massey are in charge. Thank you.
Bottas says, you're a wank, so I'm giving him a 50-second penalty because he says I'm a wank. He's a wank. He's a big wank. A wank, 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 wank.
But this is how it feels at the moment. There's no consistency. There's no... Do you know, it shouldn't be like that.
We've got to strip this back to... This particular track has kind of brought up
highlighted a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the track is... I don't think it's a safe track. It's not a safe track when you're doing 200 miles an hour in a blind bend and there's a car maybe sitting against a wall or any of these things, debris on the track, and so on and so forth. We lost count of how many virtual safety cars we had actually out there. The track's exciting, but if somebody loses their life or loses their legs because of it, I don't think it's actually worth it. But
let's say we were talking about a track that 2 weeks ago wasn't even finished.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
But, and why are we even there in the first place? Why are we even in that country in the first place?
Paul, because what does it say? Cash is king.
Cash is king.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
remember that, because at certain points, safety of drivers and that probably does go out the window a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this is track number 2 in next year's season.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it would have offered up such an exciting race if it was as it will be next season.
I don't even know if it was an exciting race, though.
Ultimately, what it's given us is that we're going to the last race of the season, which I'm sure I said a few weeks ago, it's not been a great season for wheel-to-wheel racing.
No.
It's been exciting because it's been close. I would have hated for it to have got to 2 or 3 races to go and all of a sudden somebody just ran away and won it.
Yeah.
I wanted it to go down to the last race. I didn't envisage that we were going to go into the last race with them dead level on points.
No.
Is the best outcome we could have wanted, considering that Abu Dhabi, or what the Dhabi do, whatever you call it, is normally...
I'd like to take this moment to apologise to our listeners in Abu Dhabi. Paul is just, you know, he's uneducated and he doesn't know your country. I apologise. It's Abu Dhabi, Paul.
And he's been on the tipple that you're not allowed in that country.
Yes, he's been drinking. Knowing the rules, one...
That bit better not make the edit.
This is all going in. I cannot be fucked editing this. Look, we got to that point where after the incident with Max...
You're just going to overlook my whole point there anyway.
What's that, Paul? I didn't hear you there.
You're just overlooking that whole point.
What? What's that? Eh?
What? Oh, just continue.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks. So, I'm trying to move the narrative forward. You're just talking shite. So...
Apologies to everybody for the language tonight, because it's just shocking.
Absolutely terrible.
However, it reflects the race that we've just watched.
Yeah, yeah, to be fair, that is true.
Thank you, Michael.
We get to, obviously, the point where Lewis has run up the hard...
Sorry.
Paul has run up the arse of Lewis. I don't know where I'm going with this. Lewis has run up the arse of Max, and what happens is then nobody knows what the fuck to do, because Max let Lewis past... Max is went, yeah, okay. And Lewis has went, right into the back of the car. So then they're running about for the next five laps, and people are going, well, should he? He's still pass him? He's tried to pass him, but he's not passed him. And we've no idea what is actually going on. We're sitting there watching the race and going, so who's actually... what? No idea.
You know, the bit I don't understand is that Max slows till I'm passed. There's contact. And the minute there's contact,
he then fucks off.
Max then passes him again.
Right, so Max then fucks off. What? Well, that's the next
bit. He's just sitting going, fuck it, I gave him a chance. It's like when you're sitting at a junction and you flash somebody once and then you go and you go, well, fuck
him.
So, is that what happened there?
Well, yeah.
Is that the F1 equivalent of a flash of the lights?
Did fuck all. Look, well, the next part was that we're then questioning why and how Lewis has obviously had this issue, the team having to let him know, and then what happens is Max then does let him past, but he lets him past at turn 27, and then straight away overtakes him again. Me and Gareth had the discussion, the stroke argument, that this happened in Spa with Kimi Raikkonen, letting somebody pass and then re-overtaking them straight away, and whether it was legal or not. And at that time, Kimi had to then actually let the other person back past because they were like, are you taking the piss, Kimi? Kimi, are you taking the piss? You let him pass and then fucked him right in the next thing in bend. And basically, Max did the exact same thing.
To be fair,
uh-huh.
If any of us were in that position,
oh yeah,
exactly what we'd do as well.
We've done the exact same thing.
Exactly what we would have done. So, whether it's legal or not, it's exactly what we would have done.
The thing is, at that point, we're then also sitting... I mean, we've tried to watch this fucking race, and we're then sitting going, so now where do we stand? Is Max now leading the race, or is Hamilton due still to overtake him? Was that illegal? Does that have to go to the stewards again? It is an utter and total mess. And then what happened is Max gets... Two things happened kind of at the same time. Max's medium tyres went, fuck you, I'm off to the beach. And also he got issued with this 5-second penalty.
As a driver, and I don't know if it was ever communicated, but communicated.
Gareth has quite a bit
Gareth
of cider.
Had a stroke.
I've had a cider stroke. I don't know if it was communicated back to Max that he actually had that 5-second penalty, because you never heard it over team radio, but you have to think if you just went, oh, do you know what, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, that, and the thing is, when we go back to obviously the stops at lap 10 on the very first red flag, Hamilton moved on to the hards. We had so many virtual safety cars that were helping out the Red Bulls over the space of the race, and we're thinking, well, fucking...
It's looking good.
Red Bull have got this fucking in the bag.
Not that we have any association to any team within the F1 paddock. Thank you.
Me especially. I am impartial. I didn't shout.
Totally.
I did not shout, come on, Hamilton, you fucker, when he passed Max. I did not shout that in any way, shape or form.
I will not tell you what he did shout. However, yeah.
Yes, I am impartial. So, at that point, Hamilton overtakes Max, and again, which I don't know whether it was allowed or are part of the Max, Hamilton's got to get past you. And then Hamilton runs him slightly, and I mean slightly off the fucking track, and gets a black and white flag. What the actual fuck, FIA? How the fuck... sorry for swearing so much. I do apologise.
You have to ask the question. How was he turning his steering wheel? Was he turning his steering wheel? Was he braking?
Glenn.
Take a deep breath. Deep breath. Sit back.
How did the FIA turn around and give Hamilton a black and white fucking flag for an incident that was fucking 10 times worse? Sorry.
It was 10 times worse.
No. Wait there. I just want to say that was 10 times worse.
Black and white flag.
I'm going to say it again. Yeah. Seriously.
I can edit
swap
this.
Seats for Gareth. Put Gareth in the chair.
How the fuck?
You've got one job, Glenn. Glenn, you've got one job. You ask the questions, you let the talent speak.
You've decided.
There we go. So the talent is speaking. As it stands, how the fuck did Lewis Hamilton get a black and white flag for the incident at that turn. He ran Max off the track. Oh, be God, how dare he in comparison to fucking Brazil, where he fucking took him off completely. And then Lewis gets a black and white flag. But then it didn't matter. I'll let you back in on the conversation now that the talent has spoken.
The talent has spoken. Do you want to put your panties back on now?
Bottom
would you
line
like
is,
me to post you the? Would you like me to post this Mercedes hat to you as well?
I think I've kind of showed my true colours here.
He's ordered one with Lewis's face on the front of it.
Hey, I'll tell you, I've wanked off Ur Lucy's face, so there's no fucking coming back for that.
Oh, you're going to have to edit that. You can't leave that in.
What?
You're talking about wanking now. That's taking that a step further.
I love Lucy. I'll do it.
So it keeps after his this race.
Yep. Lewis, we love you.
Anyway.
So. Moving
back on subject.
So anyway, we were.
Well, Lewis had got the black and white flag, if you remember. All right, yeah.
Lewis flag waved at him.
He got a flag waved at him for no apparent reason, because he only did what Max had done to him in Brazil.
Clearly not.
Yeah, he did. I mean, Jesus Christ. At least Lewis was still on the track at the time that he got the black and white flag for. But then, with a damaged front wing from the slight mistake and error between trying to overtake Max, but he'd
by which you mean running into the back of
well,
Max.
True, yes, but the team hadn't told him overtake Max, and then in turn,
yeah, when the guy slows up in front of you, do not pass him, do not pass him.
Lewis thought
running into the back of him.
He thought there was an accident in front. Surely, yeah.
I mean it.
On the street.
It is racing after all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can get past the guy in front of you, don't run into the back of him. Yeah.
Whatever you do, stay behind him.
So, we come towards the end of the race. After all the shenanigans, all the Mike Massey-isms and the banker getting involved and so on and so forth, we get to a situation that actually Lewis somehow is leading this race. He's got the fastest lap. Max is going, what the fuck is happening here? His tyres are dropping off. And at the end of the race, we've got Lewis 8 seconds to the good at the front, even though he's not got a front right-hand wing.
I don't get that.
The aero clearly is working
so
elsewhere.
Important. Aero is so important in these cars that with half your
front wing missing.
No, half your front wing. But with the end plate missing off your front wing, you can still put in the fastest lap and tank it to the end. Come on.
Yeah, maybe America looking at that car now going, shit, maybe we should knock the fucking other side off.
Just take a hammer to that shit.
They've just come across a design by accident.
Well, I mean,
we'll find out next week.
That basically tied up the race. Hamilton was 8 seconds ahead of Max by the time they got to the end, and it puts them, along with the fastest lap, the 8 points turned into effectively both Max and Lewis going into the final race of the season on the exact same points, including the half point. So the race actually finished, because we need to just mention the rest of the guys in the field. We've got,
were there any
nah,
other
we
cars
don't,
racing?
We don't really know.
We don't really need to mention them.
But
you mean there was another...
We need to mention Bottas.
There was another 18 cars
already,
racing.
I've done that already. I've mentioned Bottas. I've called him out. I've said what a stellar job he done tonight. Does anyone really care?
Not really.
It's all about the top two.
We've got to take our hats off to the stewards who ran out in the track to pick up bits of cars multiple times.
Under double waved yellows.
Well, double yellows in places. They were doing good jobs.
Did you see that one guy? That one guy that ran on. He's quite a hefty guy as well. And he ran on.
They're always the fun ones to watch.
And he jumped and I won her right through that little yellow in the fence.
That was one of the highlights of the fucking
race.
It
was one of the most impressive things I've seen all day watching the cars.
It was.
Well, how did he fit through that square?
Look, starting at the back, we've got Mick and Maz, funnily enough, both DNFs. We've got Perez, who took off the front wing, got a bit squeezed. Russell, who had a Russian running up his arsehole, quite... aggressively. I don't know who finished in 16th. I have no idea. Kemi finished in 15th. Wartoni in 14th. Took the front wing off and again went backwards. Alonso in 13th. Won't be happy with that, but could have done better. We've got Latifi in 12th. Went forward, but it's because everybody else fucking binned it.
Went backwards.
Yep. Stroll in 11th, who had shenanigans. We've got Norris in 10th, who was kind of caught out by the first red flag.
Yeah. Bad choice.
Yeah, we could talk about
sell
that.
Sell a point at the end of the day, though.
Yeah.
Point to point.
It was looking like he was going to run outside the point. It's got a wee sneaky point at the end somewhere.
That fight with Ferrari, to be honest, Ricciardo obviously went all the way up, but it was luck. The positions for second and for third and fourth, fucking excuse me, third and fourth in the championship of the constructors is... It's not really changed much. We've got Ricciardo up in fifth, but again, luck, depending where the red flags were, when he came in, when he didn't come in, etc., etc. We had Sainz and Leclerc fighting it out and putting each other off the track. It was good to see, actually, for the Ferraris taking each other on, but again, ran the risk of taking each other out. So Stroll in 11th, Norris in 10th, Giovinazzi in 9th, who's leaving us and going to Formula E at the end of the season.
I was going to. I feel a song coming on there.
Sainz and Leclerc in eighth and sixth. Gasly in sixth, who normally goes backwards.
Gasly
in sixth. I've got to speak like this at the end of the podcast. So you better get fucking used to it. Gasly in sixth, Ricciardo in fifth, and then we've got. I mean, to be fair, Bottas and Ocon right to the line. Bottas got him on the line.
Oh, instead, he just sneaked it in there.
Bottas in the faster, the very faster car. The faster car. Instead of fucking overtaking him on the track, waited until the right to... Total dick move by Bottas. Ocon
you
was
have,
like...
You have to wonder that one, though. So the Merc is so fast, and yet it has to wait until the last 200-300 metres...
With DRS. Pass,
with DRS.
Yep.
To pass the Alpine.
Yep. Ooh. Yep.
The Alpine in front of him.
No. Bottas knew he wasn't catching the top two, so he thought, I'm just going to toy with fucking I'm going to let him think he's got third place, and then right on the line, I'm going to pip him. And to be honest, Ocon's reaction to that happening was phenomenal.
It was quite funny. I want to say terrible. Oh, it was a shame. Such a shame.
him and Ocon are currently fighting in the pit lane.
Yeah, at the moment.
Yeah.
So that was Ocon fourth, but still
they
a good
were until Max
for him.
Turned up and slapped Ocon in the face
again.
Yeah. Just for again.
Just for being there.
Bottas managed to get up on the podium, tasted the champagne for probably the last time of his career. Max in second, 8 seconds. It's fucking true.
It's probably true. But
yeah. Whoa. Max in second.
Very true.
Hamilton in first. And we go to the last race of the season, all squaring points. Absolutely. Not even a fag paper in between these two motherfuckers. It does stand because obviously the FIA have got in place the sort of rules and regulations. So if they wound up on the exact same points at the end of the season, it would go down to... Who finished best first, finished best second and third and fourth, and all the way back to the FIA making a decision on he wins. But as it stands, Hamilton's got, I think, 7 victories. Max has got 8. So that's why Max is ahead in the championship. Not because of the points, purely because he has won more races. We get to the last race of the season. We've got Abu Dhabi and the track has been reprofiled in 3 particular places. That it should give us better racing, better overtaking. We will see how that pans out. Gareth obviously clearly expressed his opinion. Paul, last race of the season, do you think Merck's got it in the tank to take this victory? Do you think Hamilton has? They're certainly heading the constructors now, but from a driver's point of view, do you think Hamilton's going to come through and take it? After today's race, he looked exhausted.
I genuinely think so. I hope so. It reminds you of where we were at the start of the season more than normally, because obviously you've been on speaking about.
Yeah.
And I remember two or three races into the season thinking, well, this is meant to be Red Bull's year. You know, this car's meant to be faster, better. They've got the better driver. Mark is still ahead in the championship, you know. Yep. And I'm sure I said at the time, like, just let's just call it quits. Let's just give Hamilton the title now. Then it swung dramatically in favour of Red Bull. It's been a bizarre season, but here we are, and it's going into none of us would have called this.
No.
Going into the last game, bang on the same points going into the last race of the season, and again, going back to what we've said every week, you know, it's not been great wheel-to-wheel racing, but it's been exciting in the fact that it's very close. It can't be any closer. It can't get any more exciting than this one race. It's a one-race shootout.
Yep.
I just hope that it's not decided on Saturday in the qualifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really hope it goes on to that. And we get something like today.
All I'm going to say,
it's all we can hope for.
All and I'm going to say,
Listen, let me fucking finish.
Yeah, go, Paul. Go.
Don't ask me a question and not let me finish.
You're just going on a bit.
You can talk about waffling on.
I'm busting for a piss, and you're fucking. Yes.
Well, shut up and let me finish. As much as I want Hamilton to win it,
really, your heart doesn't say that to me. Oh, sorry.
If it's an exciting last race, whoever wins it next week deserves it. And that's all I can say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So roll on next week. Roll on next week.
True. Very true. Equal points going into the last race. It could come down to fastest lap. You never know. But the one thing I would point out is because Max is technically ahead in the championship because of Reese victories,
wins.
First bend, Max, just fucking take Hamilton out. Championship's yours. Schumacher did it. Senna did it. You might as well fucking join that crew of people that fucking take out others to win a championship, Max. Whether he will or not, we will wait and see, Gareth.
I don't think so. Based on what we've seen this year, I think it's going to be a race to the finish.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I have to kind of agree with Paul in so much as...
You're agreeing with Paul?
Even though he's wearing a Merc car.
Fuck.
I think it has been... Do you know, had it not been for Max and Lewis... Actually, the
Gareth races, is actually here in the room with me.
The races that we've seen, I think it would have been a shit season, to be fair. This has all been done to these two guys actually pulling out of the bag.
Because nobody else was challenging.
Well, no.
No, like, do you know what? But we are quite lucky in that when it all boils down to it, these two guys are absolutely phenomenal and head and shoulders above everybody else on that track. And... that it doesn't come along often.
No.
Most in any sport, let alone in racing driving at the pinnacle, you know, there's 20 drivers. You don't often get a time where there's two guys and that are that good.
It's interesting because this is old school versus new school.
Yeah,
I think to a certain extent, it does go to show that the age in Formula One doesn't really have the same sort of effect that it does in other sports. And we're very lucky to have watched a race as bonkers as it was as a championship. And although the rest of the season, we can't turn around and say each race has been a banger.
It's not been a fantastic season.
It's been strategies in X, Y, and Z. But I think when we look back as a whole, this is a season we can turn around and say, that was a good season. Well, we won in the situation. Merck had won it by the mid-season or anything like that. And we were talking about this earlier, before we even started the race. The car change into 2022, the last time we had championships like this would have predated 2000. Some of the people that are maybe listening to this weren't even born at the time. Hey. Were in a situation... No, but it's true. These cars have caused more problems and have caused poorer racing. The rules for teams like Ferrari and Merck and Red Bull have spent their way to the top. And we're in a situation that we are hopefully going to see the new dawn of Formula One, which other people will benefit from.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, the past has not been fantastic. We've stuck with it as a labour of love. And unfortunately... it's been kind of shit when teams have been dominating. Teams shouldn't dominate a sport for 6 or 7 seasons. It's the same in football. It's the same in tennis. If you want these...
Football and tennis.
Yeah.
What an odd comparison.
No, you look at... if you look...
Sorry.
I've got rhyme and reason.
Avoid the tennis one. I get the football one, but tennis.
No, you look at Rafa. You've got... Rafa Nadal,
Rafa,
you've got Djokovic, and you've got Gareth has shown off his sexual preference here. But you've got people, and you've got the peak of the sport. Maybe even in tennis, you can see you've got three guys, but you've got three or four teams in the Premiership. In the Scottish League, it's fucking one or the other. League. You might as well toss a fucking coin.
There's only Hearts in Scotland, that's it. Who? Hearts. Who? No other team.
We're in a situation that for 2000 to 2005, it was dominated. For 2006, we had Renault, 6 and 7. 2008, we had a Ferrari resurgence with Kimi Raikkonen.
There was a Renault manufactured one in there.
Well, yeah, that was 2006, 2007.
Just crashing into the wall.
Well, no, that was later on. That was when Alonso was back there. And then we've got 2007, we've got Kimi Raikkonen taking it in the Ferrari. We've got 2008, we've got Lewis Hamilton's first championship. We've got 2009 with the bronze. And then we go back to a situation where it's back to a team dominating for three or 4 years, and we had Red Bull, and now we've got Merck. That's not how the sport should be.
This is where we lose people wanting to watch the sport, where you have somebody that's dominating. There's no challenge to it. And I think this year, had it not been for Max and Lewis, this would have just been another shit season.
Which then questions, is the FIA, Liberty Media, etc. involved in any way, shape or form? Rulemaking, etc. Decisions? I mean, Mike Massey today, I mean, why the fuck? Why did these decisions happen today?
It makes the racing closer. But they need consistency. And this is something that we've spoken about. It's fine to have these weird and wonderful fucking decisions coming into it, but you have to be consistent. So if that's the decision you make in round one, it has to be the same decision through every single round, right up to the final one.
Yeah, but so, there also has to be a reason. There has to be a reasoning behind the decisions that they're making at the time, and they have to tell us the reasoning behind the decisions, and then they have to stick by that week on week.
Yeah,
that's it. It's so bizarre. It just goes all over the place. You can even go back to this weekend with the double yellow flags, and there was penalties a couple of weeks ago. There wasn't penalties this week. It has to be, if you do that, this is the rules, and if you break that rule, this is your punishment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is it the whole way through. I don't get this change in the stewards week in, week out as well. No, I just don't understand that at all. Yeah. It does not make any sense to me at all. There needs to be some sort of cohesion with the whole thing. And it's like the stewards don't speak to the fucking Michael, whatever his fucking name is.
Michael Massey, he's a nice guy, Paul. You know, you're picking on him.
No, but the problem is that the teams shouldn't have a contact with him during the race.
No.
But I don't think he'll change that, because I'm now beginning to think that he just loves this limelight. He's getting a little bit of woo. Everyone's talking about me because they're all coming to me this year.
We really didn't know who Michael Massey
was. It never happened. And now all of a sudden it's a weekly thing, or a race weekend thing.
Everybody reports back to Michael.
That's correct, but likewise, this is the first year that those communications have been opened up for us to hear the whinging and the bitching and the moaning for the teams that shouldn't be happening.
Do you know,
whether that's a new thing to us or not, for me, that just shouldn't be happening.
No, it shouldn't.
Week in, week out.
I think
it should not be happening. And, do you know, I'm hoping for a quiet week up until next Thursday, Friday, whatever it starts. But going by Horner's last radio call to Max, it's already happening.
Yeah.
So this week's going to be really interesting. I hope, you know, I really hope we go into this weekend. There's no penalties for anybody. Let them go in, level on points, let them race, let them do whatever. Just get on with it and let's see what happens.
That was the race. If you get the chance to watch it, if you've got the fucking time to watch it, if you've got a spare 4 hours, go and watch it.
If you think F1's boring, watch this race. If you watch that race and go, nah, that's shit, then there's no helping you.
We had a race. It lasted fucking ages. Hamilton and Max wound up in the same points at the end of it. So we got the last race of the season. After all this time, all the money spent on the cars, all the drama, all the headlines, etc., etc., we get to the last race and it's winner takes all. That's what it's come down to.
Does this mean that we could have actually just had one race? I mean, done with
it. Pretty much.
Yeah, we've watched an entire, from March to December.
We've wasted like 10 months of our life
watching stuff to go
shit,
actually,
watching shit boring races.
One race would have done it.
To be honest, the amount of page column inches that's going to be written about this race is going to be crazy. It'll probably outstrip all the rest of the races. So if you get the chance, go and watch it.
It is one of those races that I would imagine will be talked about for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of those ones where you say at the end, you had to be there
to understand it.
Did you watch it? Did you watch it live? No, you didn't know what you're talking about there.
It goes back
what
to...
What do they
want? If you watch the highlights, you probably don't understand what happened either. No.
Actually, watching the 40-minute highlights will probably give you a better idea of what happened.
Because at the end, they'll be able to go...
watching the whole thing live.
This is why Max got a penalty, because his name is... Max.
The thing is, this is one of the... No, listen. This is one of the badges of honour you carry. You carry this race with you and say, I was there when it all happened.
I watched it live.
It's just like when Button won in 2010 in Canada, mind the race with the rain and stuff, where it took 5.5 hours for the race to reach conclusion. And us diehard fans were watching it the whole way fucking through on. Why the fuck am I watching?
Why am I watching this?
I'm listening.
I spend most Sunday afternoons watching F1 race going, why am I watching this? I could turn this off. I could literally turn this off now.
Everything being said, if we come to the conclusion, we get to go to the last race, everything's square, it's going to be exciting, etc. Enjoy the season, I suppose, if that's what... That's what turns you on. Then this kind of race is right up your alley if you want to get a bit confused for 4 hours. Join us in what is a week's time. We're off to Abu Dhabi for the season closer. We're going to a track that has been reprofiled to improve racing. They've
supposedly
updated three sections of the track, which should make it better racing because they've realised that it's taken 10 fucking years to go, maybe we should change the track because it's shit. So... we're going to the last race, and hopefully, it being the title decider, honestly, this race has been maybe manufactured to be the way it has finished.
Who knows? Absolutely felt like a manufactured outcome.
Shame. Who does a Max fan? That's what that is.
I have to say, listen, as much as, I'm dealing with you three Hamilton fanboys.
We're not fanboys.
Oh,
coming for the Max fanboy.
Hamilton's my lover. However, I think, I've always said for the start, I would love to see Max win it. Not necessarily because I'm a fan of Max, but just it's nice. It's nice to see somebody else win the title, or indeed actually push him. Yeah, do you know? So if Hamilton wins, I don't have a big issue with it. It's nice to see somebody push for this win. Yeah, I do. I'd still love to see Max win it, but
I feel Gareth's wanked over Max's face at some point as well.
No, the thing is, I totally get what he's saying, and it is
what, about wanking over Max's face.
No,
Paul.
About there being a different winner.
There's
nothing but being a supporter of Scottish football, I don't support Rangers or Celtic. It is. I know exactly where he's coming from with that. It's terrible that every year. You know there's no chance of anything, another team winning, that anything different happening. And it is. It's boring. It's monotonous. But I'd love to see Hamilton get that eighth title.
I think because he's had to fight
and
for
I want him to do it now before these changes and everything come in, because we didn't really know where everyone's going to be after that. So I want him to wrap it up. And then if it all goes to shit next year, then he can just go, well, you know what? I've got 8 titles. I'm the best there ever has been. Cheerio. Nobody's ever going to better that.
I think that's the problem, I don't know that he is the best that's ever been. He's the best in
He might not be the best. It's such a hard sport.
Yeah.
I think
to determine who's the best ever. But
I agree with you, Paul.
I have this thing with Lewis Hamilton that...
Oh, why?
I think that...
Tell us more.
I was just going to go into a big deep meaningful there and you've just fucking ruined it. No, I have this thing with Hamilton that I think that he's so underrated as a British sports person, as a British world champion.
Well, they've called him Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Eventually they've done that. There's guys that have done like one wee shitty little fucking cricketers that have won an Ashes and they've been fucking Sirs and all that. Fucking cricket. Such load of shit, right?
Maybe
he's a multiple. He is a multiple world. No, a multiple world champion.
And
for whatever
UK
reason,
tax.
For whatever reason, he has not looked upon the same as other people that have done similar things to him. And I don't know what that reason is. Is it because he dresses funny? Is it because he has an opinion?
I would go with his dress.
What are you trying to point out?
What it is, but I think that the guy is an inspirational character, and I think that he is so underrated that it's unbelievable. You can mock and laugh at me all you want, but I've said my piece.
He's done well over the years that he's been in the sport, and I think, as you say,
you can only beat what is in front of you.
Absolutely.
True.
And he has done all of that.
We were talking about this before the race, and we said that you can only really in Formula One, you can only compare these guys probably decade to decade, because out with that, because the technology, the cars, the tracks, safety, all of these things have changed so much for decade to decade that you can only really put it down to Hamilton has been definitely from, 2010 to 2020, the GOAT. In that particular era.
He's been in the right car at the right time, and he has absolutely owned it. And no one can argue with that. I think what you see now, though, is a lot of the younger guys that are coming into the sport. And I suppose that the likes of, we've said, Verstappen, Sainz, Leclerc, all these guys that are coming in, Norris, that are coming in, naturally, how is that going to develop going forward? Because it's odd to be looking at somebody that's, Hamilton's, 36?
Yep.
And going, do you know what? You're an eldersman of the sport. It's a bit weird.
But the thing is that his performance is not... It doesn't get any less every year.
He seems to
get better and better as the years go by. And I think Formula One's the kind of thing that if you keep yourself fit enough...
Absolutely.
Hamilton's fit? Is that what you're saying, Paul? Hamilton's
You're twisting the words. That
no, I'm just. And, I'm just
and do you know what? Do you know what, Glenn? I'm not liking it.
his fitness level.
Did you notice I called you Glenn there?
I did. That's why I was laughing instead of responding.
Right, we're wrapping this up.
Yeah, because this has been running for an hour and 10 fucking minutes. That's why I had to go.
But the thing is, we've had our little moments of like bullshitting and all that, but it just shows you when you get a good race, or you know,
depends,
like something like that,
depends who you are and you ask about a good race.
No, we've had a lot to talk about. You know, it just shows you that when a race is good, you can talk about it.
It creates conversation. Yeah, absolutely.
Some of these are difficult when you come on and you watch a race and you've thought, I come on this podcast sometimes. I think I watched like that race for 2 hours and
got
I paid
fuck all
no
out
attention.
Yeah.
I paid attention to the 30 seconds at the start, and then Hamilton or Max crossing the finishing line, and then you ask a question, and I'm like,
don't know.
That's the kind of thing you want. You know, and it's amazing that it's the pinnacle of motorsport, that you can go and watch like 10 fat guys driving old Ford Escorts around a muddy track, and it's really competitive, and you don't know who's going to win, and you're like, fucking hell, this is amazing.
That's it.
And it's got a budget of about 50 quid a car.
And that's including
speed. And
you're
watching this F1, and it's nowhere near as competitive.
Nah.
Paul, what
you know, it's funny, but it's pretty shitty as well.
What race series is that, so we can get the word out there?
Stock cars, Armadale.
Fat Escort guys.
Fat Escort guys. With a moustache.
Right, let's finish this up, because otherwise we'll still be here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks' time? A week's time?
We'll be here for next week's time. One.
We better not be here for 2 weeks, because we'll miss the fucking outcome.
The last race of the season, we're going there with equal points for the two front drivers in the championship. Merck have pulled a bit more of a lead in the constructors, and maybe have got that tied up to a certain extent. But we're off to Abu Dhabi. Last race of the season will be the 12th of December, which is next week. And that's pretty much it. I hope you've enjoyed our drunken ramble about today's race. Honestly, if you get the chance to go see the race, either in highlights, the full thing, watch it. You'll be confused and entertained all at the same time. But I just want to say, obviously this weekend, Derek lost his mother, and our hearts go out to Derek and his family because of that loss. And we'll have him back next weekend, back joining us for the last race of the season. There's nothing else I can really say except it's goodbye for me.
It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye for me. The Metcats, a wee nod to Derek. Thinking of you, mate. Hopefully you'll be back next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take care. Stay safe. And join us next week. This has been a Beer Cat production for DNF1.